Turning God's word again to that chapter that we just read, that was the Gospel of Matthew and chapter 6. I'm going to read some of these verses again from verse 19. Matthew chapter 6 from verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. And if therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Amen. Let's ask the Lord's help as we consider his word this evening. Lord, we give thanks that we have thy word before us this evening, and that it is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, the joints and marrow, that it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And so, Lord, we come, and as we sit under the word of God, we pray, Lord, for the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our hearts, that the thoughts and intents of our hearts might be discerned. Lord, that thou would apply that word and glorify thy name. Bless us, O Lord, we pray. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. This evening I want to consider with you words from this chapter of Matthew, which are, there is no doubt, commonly well known. And as we do so, be mindful that as we break into this passage, we are coming into the midst of the Lord Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, as it is generally named. That sermon begins in chapter 5 and verse 2. And in general terms, we should understand the purpose and main theme of this sermon as that of repentance. Repentance is the Greek word meaning to change the mind. It's a change of mind. And as the Lord Jesus here spoke to his fellow Jews, it was with the purpose of changing their minds. The Lord Jesus Christ was the Messiah that was to come. He was the promised anointed one who had come to save his people. The Jewish mindset in regards to their Messiah was, for the most part, very earth-centric, in the sense that they always had in their minds the glory of the physical kingdom of Israel that they had been taught of in their history. Their minds were filled with the mighty works that Moses did when they left Egypt, the land of bondage. Their minds were filled with the victories of Joshua as their ancestors claimed the land of promise. Overthrew mighty men, overthrew mighty cities. Their minds were filled with the triumphs of King David over the Philistines and his enemies round about, of the glory of Solomon and the great temple that he built, of the glory and beauty of Israel in days gone by. That was what was in their heads. And with the coming of their Messiah, then they expected a return to those glory days of yore. But the Lord Jesus had not come for such a purpose. The kingdom that he had come to establish was a spiritual kingdom primarily, and it was a victory over Satan that he had come to claim. Rather than emancipating Israel physically from the oppression of the Roman Empire, as the people imagined, he had rather come to save his people from the oppression of their sins. His name was Jesus, for he would save his people from their sins. And that being the case, then, the Lord Jesus needs to speak to them with the purpose of changing their minds. And if you read throughout this sermon with that idea in mind, that the Lord Jesus is seeking to change the way they think, and you will see many examples throughout. You'll see how often that is the underlying theme of the Sermon on the Mount. Jewish thought was very literal. Their attention was very much given to the letter of the law, as is seen clearly in the case of the Pharisees, of course, who went to great lengths to obey to the letter, every jot and tittle. that it should be accomplished by them in what they did. And that is why, to take one example, we see the Lord Jesus taking pains to disabuse them of that mindset when it comes to the law of God. In chapter 5 and verse 22, we see that the spirit of the sixth commandment is not just that murder was sinful, but unjust hatred of your brother is guilty of breaking that commandment. Likewise, the commandment against adultery. And we could show many more examples, but for the sake of time, we cannot do that. But to suffice it to say this, that what the Lord Jesus was doing here was seeking to have them change their minds, to elevate their thought from the earthly to the heavenly. And it was for that reason that the Lord Jesus Christ would use parables as well. He would tell them an earthly story that they should become aware of the heavenly meaning. And you're all aware enough to think of many places where the spirit of the act is emphasized above the physical act itself. Nowhere, though, is this theme of a change of mind more evident than in the verse 19 to 21. There we read these words: "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." And so our subject tonight then is this: a change of focus, or how to obtain true happiness. And I trust the Lord will give us help as we consider these things this evening. As human beings, we fixate on things. It is as natural to us, to mankind, as to breathe, for us to have goals in our lives. Those goals might be large in scope, or they might be smaller. We've always in our lives have interests, we have hobbies, we have little projects for ourselves to focus on, to keep us busy, to give us something to aim for. And indeed, the absence of those sorts of things in our lives is a sign and a symptom, actually, of mental illness and of depression, that there should be no interest in those things. It's unnatural for us not to have those desires and those mini projects, so to speak, and goals. We fixate on things. And this is how the Lord has created us. What is the end, the purpose of these goals, of these desires that we have, of these projects that we undertake and fixate on? What's the purpose of them? Why did we come up with them? All men and women have. The purpose is, of course, happiness. We pursue happiness. Let's consider then, what does it take to obtain this happiness, really and truly? Do the things that we fixate on truly give us happiness? Do we obtain happiness by the things that we pursue in this world? It seems not. No man that ever lived was ever truly happy and satisfied. Consider the billionaires of this current day, and I find this to be quite funny in some ways. They have the entire world at their disposal, in essence. They have so much money that they can have anything that they want, that can be imagined, that exists upon the earth. But what is it that they seek to do? Well, it seems recently that the obsession is that the world is truly not enough for them, and so they're trying to leave Earth as space. And so many of them have, two or three recently, been working on these projects to get them into space. The world is their oyster, so to speak, and yet their fixation is about how to leave it. I find that quite amusing, but it is also quite sad when you really think about it. If the richest and most powerful men in the world, who can have anything, are not satisfied and cannot be happy with that, then we must consider whether it is possible for us to be happy. It is, of course, but it requires a change in our fixation, in our focus. What is required for this change then of focus? And the Lord Jesus Christ here gives a breakdown, really, a summary of what it is that is required. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. A change of focus is required. And what is required for the change of focus? Well, first of all, we must have an accurate assessment of what is necessary for true happiness. What is true happiness? What meets the human need for happiness? Carnal man, the world, may make a mistake immediately, at the very outset. They are considering what is happy, what will make me happy. First of all, they need to define who they are. And here is where the mistake is made. The world considers mankind to be animals, like any other animal, elevated to a higher state of intelligence, but an animal nonetheless. And so then only fleshly or carnal, temporal, material things can satisfy us, if you consider that logic. If we are just animals, if we are just flesh and blood, and when we die we get laid in the ground and we rot and we are gone, then what else could satisfy us but the material, but the things of this world? It's logical to come to that conclusion. But it is evident that material things do not bring happiness. The problem is their understanding of what a human being is. We did not come about by chance. We did not evolve into highly intelligent animals. Therefore, material things can never satisfy us. No matter how many things we own, no matter what clothes we wear, how much wealth we have, what reputation we have, what relationships and satisfaction emotionally we have, we are never fully satisfied. We were created by God. We are the definition of a human being. And that being the case, only spiritual things can truly give us happiness. Two things are highlighted in this passage as being necessary for material things to be sufficient for our happiness. First of all, security for the source of our happiness. The source of our happiness must be secure, because thieves may break through and steal. Material things suffer from a lack of security. Thieves break through and steal. Material things have a lack of security. They can be taken from us. And so our holding on to material things relies upon our own strength. It then relies upon our own ability to hold that which we have, in spite of others who might want to take it from us. There are many who are stronger than us. There are many who command more authority than us. At any moment, the government or a stronger person or a person who has violent means at their disposal can come and take away what you own. And what could you do? The source of your happiness is upon this earth, that it is vulnerable to being denied to you. It is not secure. Then secondly, there is preservation of the source of our happiness. Material things are vulnerable also to the ravages of time. Moth and rust doth corrupt. The things of this earth are fleeting. They are like the early morning mist. They are consumed by the heat of the sun when it rises up. Treasures upon this earth are but for a moment, and then they are gone. Just like our mortal bodies are gone. Temporal things are exactly that. They are temporal. They are temporary. They are not permanent. The thing that we have one day, that we treasure to ourselves, is gone the next. Just like we ourselves, like the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven. The things that we love in this world, even if they do not themselves fade away, can still fade in their appeal to us, and so in that sense be taken from us. And we see a young man, a young woman, getting married and being in love with each other and living together. And yet slowly the love dissipates and fades away. And the happiness that they once knew becomes sorrow. And so they break apart. And that which once made them happy no longer makes them happy, because it was an earthly thing. The things themselves may not cease to exist, but they may cease to please us. Even our own bodies, disease and old age can cause us to cease to enjoy things which once gave us happiness. And in this sense too, then, material things cannot provide happiness because they fade away. They have no security and they cannot be preserved. And so thus we can accurately assess that material things are insufficient to provide us with true happiness. And that what is necessary to true happiness must be a thing which is not vulnerable in either of these ways. It cannot be a thing that can be denied us by another. A thief could break through and steal. It cannot be a thing that can be corrupted by moth and rust, so to speak. Those things cannot give us happiness. But we must also then make an accurate judgment as to where true happiness may be found. We identify what it is that can give us true happiness. It is spiritual things, not earthly things. We must also judge as to where true happiness may be found. If we are then spiritual and immortal beings, and we are, the Lord has created us with a soul that never dies, then the only things that can satisfy us must also be spiritual things. The temporal cannot bring true happiness because it can be taken away from us, or our enjoyment of temporal things can fade away as they themselves fade. We grow bored of them, we get used to them. But if we are spiritual beings and we have immortal souls, then surely our happiness must depend upon a source that is spiritual and never ceasing. So where can true happiness be found? It's found in heavenly things. It is complete folly then for mankind to seek happiness in the things of this world, in the things of this earth. They cannot bring happiness. So the Lord Jesus requires of us this change of mind then, that we should turn from laying up treasures on earth, and we should cease being fixated on the temporal and the material and the things that we have during this life, but rather look to where treasures are eternal and satisfying, to our souls. We should thankfully and gratefully receive all that the Lord provides for us materially. Now, those things are important. We need them. The Lord Jesus, in this very passage of Scripture, ensures that that is the case. He teaches us to pray, he says, and gives one line to it. Give us this day our daily bread. The temporal things are important to an extent, and we should thankfully and gratefully receive all that the Lord provides, and it may be much, and we should indeed be thankful. The Lord Jesus later in this passage emphasizes that it is the Lord who provides our daily food and clothing. However, the point that the Lord Jesus Christ is making here is that people should not seek their happiness in earthly things. They should not, those things of this earth should not be treated as if they could ever satisfy our immortal souls. Happiness cannot be found. It is not to be found. It is not to be sought upon earth. Instead of seeking happiness upon earth, the Lord Jesus Christ says that we should seek it in heaven. Where are you seeking your happiness this evening? Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. In the sense of the words there, lay up treasures, is not that we physically stockpile treasure for ourselves in heaven and we'll go there and there'll be a pile of gold for us one day. Of course, that's not what it means. To lay up treasures in heaven means to seek and to expect happiness in heavenly things, in things that are unseen, in things that are eternal. The happiness of a being such as a man is intimately tied to our relationship with God. We are spiritual beings, we already said this. Why are we spiritual beings? Because God created us in his own image. God has made us spiritual beings, as he is spirit. Therefore, we can only find true happiness in him. Man's chief end or purpose is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. And that closeness of relationship and of intimacy with the God of heaven can be obtained only in heaven. Such a happiness is placed beyond the reach of our circumstances here on earth. Time cannot ravage such a happiness, for our happiness and joy are found in God, and God is immutable. He is unchanging. He will not change. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Force cannot take that happiness from us. The deceits of men cannot deprive us of this treasure. They cannot be stolen from us. It is our mindset. It is a possession of our heart, of the inner man. Nothing can cause it to decay. Nothing can cause its security to be threatened from external forces. Joy in the Lord is limitless. For the Lord is limitless. That joy, that treasure, that happiness is perfectly suited to our immortal spirit. We were designed to find our satisfaction in the Lord. The Lord Jesus here then exhorts us to fulfill our purpose. Not that we should have our eyes cast down to the earth as human beings, taken up with the things of the world, obsessing over wealth and power and reputation and possessions, but rather have them raised up to the heavens that our goal, our purpose should be fulfilled. It's very important then for us to have this accurate judgment about where true happiness is to be obtained. We want to be happy. Every human being wants to be happy. And if we think that true happiness is to be found in wealth or reputation or power or worldly pleasures of whatever kind, whether it be emotional or sensual or intellectual or social, if we think true happiness is to be found anywhere in those earthly things, then our whole character will be of the earth, earthy. Our thoughts, our desires, our actions, our pursuits will all correspond to what we estimate to be of the most value. And if we value that most which is upon this earth, then we will act accordingly. And so sin then enters into our hearts, and we go astray, and we pursue that which is not right. As the Lord Jesus Christ says later on, no man can serve two masters. You cannot serve God and mammon. But if we are, and I hope this is true, persuaded that true happiness and joy is to be found in the heavenly things, if we're laying up treasures in heaven, only in knowing the Lord, in loving God, in being loved by God, in knowing that we are loved by God, in being like Him, in thinking along with Him, having our wills bound up with His will, loving what He loves, choosing what He chooses, enjoying that in which the Lord finds enjoyment, even if our flesh does not like it or finds it to be affliction, then we will be characterized by the spiritual and the heavenly. And our thoughts and desires and our actions and our pursuits will all correspond accordingly. So it's of the utmost importance then for us to lay up our treasure in the correct place, because it affects all other things. This is the fundamental thing. This is why the Lord Jesus Christ calls men and women to repentance, that they should pursue after the Lord Jesus and true happiness and joy, rather than going after the things of this world which may give happiness but for a fleeting moment and then fade away. Where your heart or treasure is, there will your heart be also. In closing then, let us consider some practical outworking of the benefits we receive by laying up our treasure in heaven. First of all, it removes all causes of earthly anxiety. As the Lord Jesus Christ says here in verse 25, take no thought. We human beings love to take thought. Some people take more thought than others. Some people, many people, take too much thought and they overthink. And we all do at times. You grow anxious, become full of care for what may come and what could be. But if our treasure is in heaven and we hold loosely to the things of this earth, then there is no cause for anxiety. And if you're Christ this evening, if you're His, you have an inheritance in the heavens, incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away. The things of this world fade away, and so when we find all of our happiness in the things of this world, no wonder we are anxious. Those things might be taken. You might be oppressed. Thieves might break through and steal. But if our treasure is in heaven, it is untouchable. And if our treasure is in heaven, our happiness is found in those things, then our happiness is untouchable. And joy is found in all of life. Happiness and joy cannot be taken from us. Secondly, these things also preserve us from falling into sin. Sin is the carnal desire of the heart. And if we find our happiness, then we lay up our treasure on earth and find all of our fulfillment in the satisfaction of our fleshly desires, then we will be led into sin. Even we as Christians can be led into sin. We take our eyes off the Lord. We take our eyes away from His Word. And we look for something upon this earth that will fulfill a need that we think we have. And we go into sin. But if our treasure is in heaven, and we have no need for fulfillment upon this earth, in our flesh, our heart, because it is already fulfilled in Christ and in the things of God, we will be preserved from falling into sin. And thirdly, this truth also affords to us a steadfast hope for our future. And again, if we lay up treasure upon earth, then no wonder we may be miserable and despair. What hope can we ever have of being happy if we look for happiness in earthly things? If the rich and the powerful of this earth aren't satisfied and are always looking for yet more and more to the point where they want to leave the planet entirely, then what hope do you and I have of ever truly and really finding happiness in earthly things? You have no hope. You do have hope if you lay up treasure in heaven. Many find their treasure and happiness in wealth. The wealth can be frittered away and gone. And even if it is held on to, the novelty of it wears off, as we can see in evidence around us. Some find their happiness and hope in their family. Their family is fragile, it can be broken up. One day the children, they will grow up and they'll leave. Maybe they'll move far away and there's no joy in them anymore, it's faded. Some find it in career and they progress. They look to rise through the ranks until they are in charge of everyone and they have authority and they have reputation, they have power. But then they have nothing left to pursue. And so the joy they had in the pursuit fades also. You have no hope if you have to find and seek happiness in this earth. But you do have hope if you lay up treasure in heaven. There can be no corruption there, no fading of joy, but only an increase of it. Why is there an increase in the joy and the happiness that we have if we find it in heavenly things? The longer we progress in our lives, the closer and closer we get to finally obtaining those things. And finally, we'll die and the Lord will take us to His side and all those things that we treasured will be ours in our possession. Since this is the case then, not only can you have hope, but that hope is sure and steadfast because your happiness is found in the eternal and unchangeable nature of God. Then, fourthly, it takes our focus away from our earthly state. We can become very much taken up with our earthly problems and difficulties. We can wallow in our own misery, so to speak. We can allow them to define us. Allow them to take away our joy and happiness, whatever circumstances they might be. We find joy in this world. We find joy in career, and we get stuck in a dead-end job, then we can become miserable. We find joy in family, but family breaks up, then we become miserable. We find joy and happiness in wealth, but the wealth is gone, we become miserable. We find any happiness in the things of this world, and we are open to misery. Of course, this is understandable, though. We allow the things and difficulties in our lives to affect us, and we may live with physical disabilities. We might live with pain, struggle, internal strain and anxiety. They can be difficult to overcome. But if we change our minds and we lay up our treasure in heaven, then our focus can be bent away from our afflictions, away from our difficulties, away from the things that consume us and we allow to define us. And our minds and hearts can dwell upon the joy and gladness that will one day be ours. When all tears are wiped from our eyes and we are renewed and present with the Lord for all eternity. Our treasure is in heaven, there will our heart be also. Refocus your eyes then. Look to Jesus, that he might be the author and finisher of your faith. Then it also finally provides us with purpose in life. And many in this world feel this purposelessness and aimlessness, and it can be prevalent among young people, perhaps especially, a feeling that you will never have all that you want, that even if you did, you know in your heart it would never really satisfy you. Feeling of uselessness and of worthlessness can easily come upon us as well when our treasure is laid up on earth. When we seek for our happiness in earthly things, we will be disappointed. We may set ourselves goals and make great achievements, but what have we really achieved? It's evident in mankind, 6 billion people living upon this planet, only a small percentage will ever achieve anything of any note, and even that is nothing. And so that is why there are so many depressed and despairing in this world. But if you know Christ, your treasure is laid up in heaven, then you are given an eternal and wondrous purpose. Your purpose is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. You are a servant of the Most High. There is no greater purpose. There is no greater goal for man than to be in the presence of our Creator and to fulfill the purpose for which he created us for all eternity. There is nothing more fulfilling. In his presence is fullness of joy, and at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. And so Paul, the apostle, can say, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, to have obtained his goal, he means. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And so therefore this evening, fixate yourself upon the things of God. Lay up for yourself treasure in heaven, where moth and rust do not corrupt, nor thieves break through and steal. You are a spiritual being. You are more than just flesh and blood. Therefore, you require more than just the carnal desires of your heart. You require spiritual sustenance. You must lay up for yourself treasure in heaven. Do not starve your soul by continually seeking the things of this world, which will never satisfy you. Take your eyes away from the earth. Have a change of mind. Repent. And fixate instead upon the things of God. Think about his provision for you in this world, however great or little it may be. Fixate upon that all that you have comes from him, and that which he has seen fit not to give you is for your good. Fixate upon his word, that you might be guided in right paths, and cause your mind to be taken up with his truth. Fixate upon his people, that you might encourage others and be encouraged by them. Fixate upon his worship, that you esteem the Lord Jesus Christ above all things, that he should have all the preeminence in your life. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Amen.